Hi, good morning, everyone.
Before I go ahead and get started,
I just want to communicate, if you were not in class today, David is right now, he's in a conference, a preacher's conference, so that's the reason I'm here, and just filling in for him today. So just want to kind of like set the tone a little bit, so I was asked or offer the opportunity to preach today. And when I asked for a topic, if there was any topic that I should be talking about, I was actually given the flexibility of doing what I wanted to do or something that I've been thinking about. So if this looks like it's not applying to you, that is the reason, but we'll make sense of it. So the city of the future. So no, I don't know how much attention you pay to the news, and even the normal news. So, you know, beyond the wars, beyond the political issues, beyond the economy, our trade or tariff war with China, all those things, there is more news, and there is a lot of news about current technologies, things that are going to start making our future. When I say that, I'm just focusing on the positive ones. Of course, there is all kinds of news and ideas of how the world is going to collapse. And I'm just going to put those up to the side for this lesson. So there is a lot of good things that have been proposed or are being proposed right now that are supposed to affect our like society, humanity in the next 10, 20, 30 years. And that is by using our current technologies or developing them. So it's no secret that, you know, perhaps we live in the most technological savvy area of the world. We have all the companies that you probably think of when we say the word technology. And sometimes it's good because we get to experience firsthand those technologies, and as well as we get these whimsical visions of how those technologies are going to affect our lives. For example, I was recently reading about this idea or this development of a self-healing concrete. Yeah, concrete, like the idea being that when we laid out concrete for a street or for a bridge, if it has any cracks, then they're putting some bacteria that will react with water or with the environment and heal the crack, so avoiding, I guess, the formation of bigger issues. So a really crazy idea. And there is also like the ideas of people, regardless of your opinions on, I found a little silly taking these technologies to do things that are a little strange, like like this lady that just recently made the news this week. So what she's holding there is the part of her car that actually unlocks and starts the car. So what she decided to do was to put that inside her wrist. That way she doesn't even need a key. So a little strange, like I said, but these are the type of things that, you know, our current technologies allow us to do. So, for instance, this lady, what she did, she put that part inside a material that is compatible with our body, and then went to a person that does these kinds of insertions and decided to go with that. And she, like I said, she, you probably heard that this is very recent as a week, but she made the headlines. Don't have anything against Tesla drivers, but when I put it out there, is it, she is one. So, crazy ideas. But there is one kind of like encompassing idea, this idea that tries to capture as much of these new things, and that is creating smart cities. So if you're not familiar with the term, and assuming that you haven't heard before, is this idea that we'll connect our technologies to make our cities more optimized. They'll be better to run and easier to manage. And there is already a little bit of that happening here in the U.S. Pieces of these kind of technologies or these kind of advancements being used for good. One that I know in Chicago, what they're doing is based on Twitter, like tweets, so messages that people send through their Twitter account, they're trying to track food poisoning from restaurants. So let's say I'm a Twitter user and I tweet, oh, I'm feeling bad, I ate at McDonald's, then they'll try to track where my position is, and they'll see, okay, McDonald's in that area, and then if another person says the same, then they'll be able to show up and address that issue and say, hey, you're just getting a lot of people sick. So I know it sounds a little weird, but that's one use or one of the things that we can do now. A little more local, here in Santa Cruz, for instance, what they're doing is that they're using past crime information to be able to deploy more police to those areas. So the way it works, for instance, is let's say we all live in the same area. So on Sunday mornings, it will be ideal for people to break into our homes because we're not there. So they'll be able to dispatch that based on that activity. So like I said, trying to anticipate crime, another use of these things. But let me show you a couple of these ideas, like perhaps give you a graphical of what they're proposing it will be in the future. So this is one that I found a lot being proposed. So a couple things going on here. If you think about it, that's not a Mercedes building. It's just a fan. So what's going on here is that there is this whole proposal of coming up with vertical farming. So having these tall buildings that can self-sustain, can produce food, also having, as you can see in the right, having all the solar panels, all these things. So in a way, making these structures living organisms to some extent. So one of those ideas, kind of like, it sounds cool. It's, like I said, there is already some cities in Asia where they're trying to do this. Another thing that they're doing is bringing trees that have the capability to provide internet connection to people, so that way making it more accessible to everyone. So some of these are, like I said, a little crazy right now, but that's what we've been thinking. Another one is the whole mobility issue. You know, self-driving cars, for instance, is one thing that is being proposed and being worked on a lot, as well as, you know, we always thought about those movies that we saw in the 90s, 80s, where they have flying cars. That idea is not so much right now, but there is the idea of using what we have today, drones, as being, you know, the vehicles of the future that we can actually use. So with these great ideas, there is a lot of challenges to us as Christians. I have really enjoyed the Wednesday class or the Wednesday series that we have going on, because personally it has touched me in a lot of ways of a lot of good reminders of putting God first. And I believe that is going to be one of the challenges going forward for us as Christians, is to remind ourselves that God goes first. And I mean, we're all here right now, for instance, to give an example of what that looks like. We're blessed to have access to the internet. And I'm sure for those of you that probably were adults or teenagers before the internet became so accessible, remember how hard it was to, for instance, do a homework. I experienced a little bit of that, and having to go to the encyclopedia and look for things there. But now, I mean, we get instant access to information. We get instant access to the Bible, for instance. We have it in our phones. It can't even read to us. We don't even need to read it. Like, if we put it to play, it'll tell us. And even though that's going on, there is multiple studies of Christian organizations where it says, like, this generation is actually not as educated in the Bible. It's not as knowledgeable of the Bible. So that's kind of like the challenge I see for us becoming. For instance, there is, with this idea of mobility, there is a lot of statistics out there. One of them being that just by eliminating the traffic jams and the congestion that we experience today, we'll get back around 42 hours in our lives, 42 hours that we spend just sitting in traffic. And if you add to that the fact that you don't have to actually pay attention when you're driving and you can do other things, then it's going to be a hard decision for us if we get to experience that on, okay, are we going to spend our time, this now free time, watching Netflix, or are we going to use it reading the Bible, trying to understand what God has is telling us, trying to do more of the things that He has commanded us to do, pray for others. So that will be for sure one of the challenges that we will start facing, and in a way we're already facing. So now, going back to this idea of smart cities. So, reading all this literature about smart cities, one thing that caught my eye was they refer to the people living in these cities with different names. But one that caught my attention was the fact that one of those terms is called smart citizens. So the people, because they live in smart cities, now they're smart citizens. Very interesting. And to me, this is a big label. A big label for people that right now, for instance, they don't know. This is kind of like their vision of what those cities look like. Very blurry. They don't know. They don't really understand what they're going to face. They don't really understand kind of like what's going to represent for their lives. So on the contrary, because of the cross, we as Christians, we know where we're headed. And because of the cross, we are guaranteed a spot in that place. Of course, it is conditional, and we have to do certain things to do, and we'll talk about those things later on. But I know that for all of us here that have been baptized, we have a goal in our lives, and that is to make it to heaven. And that is actually the city that we belong in. That is the home and the land that we look for the moment we got buried in the water. We know that the color of our passport is blood. It's blood red, like my tie that I wear today. And it represents that blood of Christ. So we had that opportunity, and we read that in the Bible. So as we see in Ephesians, Ephesians 2:19-20, we read that, "So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." We also read it in Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the kind of citizenship. This is the home that we should be aiming to one day be in. And this is actually the community that is the ultimate importance for us. And with Christ as the cornerstone, I think that is gloriously unshakable. If you think about it, our prayers go to heaven. We are commanded to lay our treasures in heaven. And it's because that is our place. So as the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 6, our hope, which is the anchor of the soul, is in heaven. Later in chapter 13, verse 14, he says, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. And that city is in heaven. So I don't really like to spend, I know for some Christians that it's kind of like a burning question, and something that a lot of people think about is what does heaven look like. But I personally don't spend that much time imagining that. And the reason I do is because I don't need that level of detail. Because when I read the Bible, I see things that are, and read things that are, I'm just confident that it will be much, much better than any of these ideas. It will be much better than what we have. Especially like when I read passages like the one I asked Josh to read. So I'll put that again. Especially verses 1 through 4 that read, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer be any death. There will be no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. So when I read this, especially this verse 3, let's imagine for a moment the level of intimate communion that we will have with God. That level described here. And not only that, but the fact that it's eternal. It's not temporary. It's going to last forever. Also, that picture that we later see in verse 4 of God wiping away every tear from the eyes, and we will no longer be in pain. There will be no death. And like, once again, this will be eternal. So I don't know about you, but when I read this, like, I don't need that many details. Because when I read this, I just can see that if all these things that sin have brought to us are removed from our lives, then we have a perfect life. We're with God. So I will take that any day or riding a flying car. But it's not that easy. And we know that. There is a lot of conditions. We all know that it takes hard work. And it's constant work. And as Paul has described it, it is a race. And in a race, there is many things that go wrong. There is many sacrifices that we make. However, we also have the Bible, who provides us that guidance. And all those words that every day we can go to and gain encouragement from them. So the Bible gives us that guidance that we need to to make sure that we have access to the heavenly city, which is the city of the future. But let's turn to right now to 2 Peter 1. And I want to just provide this as a reminder to all of us, what are some of these things that Christians have to do in order to secure a spot in heaven. So if you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, starting on verse 5. I don't have it here. So now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So I read this, and I a couple of things to point out. Number one is having that knowledge of the will of God, that we obtain that through the Bible. Also, I kind of call like that called out in self-control. We are so blessed with having so many things that are provided to us by God. But we have to exercise self-control so that they don't become our God. They don't become our idol. Another thing when I read this passage that I see is chapter in verse 8. So if you took a look, we know, we can infer from this that he's talking to Christians, that these are people that have been baptized, have been purified from sin. But then in verse 8 he said, it is not just that we have this quality, but also that they are abundant. Or in this case, I'm using the projector right now is the NASB version, which says increasing. But if you read NIV, you might say increasing measure. Or King James says unabound. So when I read this, I say, okay, it's not just having these qualities, but always continuously working, increasing them, getting better at it, growing. Then in verse 9, we see that it shows us that our path to heaven doesn't just stop the day that we made that commitment to become Christians and we get baptized. But it is a good call for us to know that lacking those qualities make us blind from the spiritual things or short-sighted. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us about what Christian vision looks like. And that, I believe, is tied to this passage here. He says in 2 Corinthians, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I truly believe that this is what he's telling us here. If you don't practice these qualities, if you don't have these increasing qualities, you become short-sighted. You become blind. And by that I mean you only see the physical things. You forget about the spiritual things that are the ones that matter, that are the ones that are going to take you to heaven one day so you can spend that time in this new city. So to recap here, a couple of things. Heaven, it is the promise that God offers through Jesus to all of those that obey him. Heaven is also, besides that, is the wonderful love of God. It is the great hope that motivates us to defeat sin. Of course, there is many more ideas about cities, things, how they're going to look in the future, many that I didn't want to get into, like going out of space and finding a new planet for us. There is actually a lot of money being thrown at building cities underneath water, because if you think about it, that one might make more sense in regards to the how much real estate we have in water. But so that's another one, and this is like brilliant people with a lot of money, I guess, that throw money on these things. But we can always think about those things, but I think for us as Christians, we don't worry about that, because we know that we have a better plan, a better city. We have a better place to look forward to, and that place is with God. So we cannot always look, or we will not know what our city, for instance Dublin, what's going to look like in 30 years. And that doesn't matter, but we know that it doesn't matter, because this is a temporary world and this is a physical world. However, once again, as Christians, we have that confidence and the deep comfort that because of Christ, God has prepared a city for us in heaven. And that no matter what, it will be perfect. It will be much better than any human creation. That is the city of our future. So now I'd like to extend an invitation. If you have been thinking about joining this community that has the opportunity to spend eternity with God, I'll make it simple for you. We have water here, and that's all it takes to start the journey. It's not an easy journey, but we have great people that support each other. And most importantly, we have God. Also, if you've been struggling and there are things that you'd like the congregation to pray for, please let one of our elders or one of the members know, and we'll sure make that our priority to pray for you.